You're listening to Doncast, an unofficial fan podcast about the greatest Australian football team, the Essendon Bombers. My name is Jamie.
And I'm Nick.
And mate, another win in September for the Bombers. Our AFLW team got off to a flying start to be 2-0 with a much really appreciated game at Windy Hill, where our team got up by 12 points over the Saints.
Certainly did, mate, which is great to see. And, we got, I think the club was hoping to get over 4,000. I think we got a bit under, about 3,900, according to the club website, which is, great stuff. And among those attending, Jane, were, a bunch of our AFL boys.
Yeah, great to see that synergy, with the two teams. And also, Dave Barham was at the game as well, and we saw Ken Fraser there, and it was great to see the stands full. It was pretty full when they went to the camera shot there.
Yeah.
We were talking, mate, and just trying to relay this is what we missed at the hangar. You can have all the bells and whistles of the hangar, but you got to have a soul. And it's not the hangar's fault, but there's just no heartbeat there, if you know what I mean. Like, there's no tradition, history that it can't possibly have. But even little things like, mate, I can jump on a train and get to Windy Hill. It's very hard to do that, to go to the hangar. You have to get buses and so forth. So, we really missed that. Windy Hill, just the whole community feel of the club, and it was great to see it back in some small way on Sunday.
Yeah, absolutely. As you say, it's kind of in the middle of nowhere. I mean, you have to sort of get transport to the airport and waltz your way down. It's great to see footy back at Windy Hill, and I thought the ladies did a great credit.
Yeah, great. And, you could see them really trying to pump up the crowd. A lot of animation towards them. And, it was great to see, Prasparkas at the end. Really try and gear him up. And, throughout the game, we saw Vought and quite a few. I think Wushner did it as well. Really good to see, the women really supported. And you can tell the Essendon crowd really appreciated their efforts.
Certainly did, mate.
Yeah. Mate, before we go into the game, I just thought we'd just recap. We haven't had much news this week. There's been no contracts for the male players. We have heard that there's four players that have been presented contracts, and they're still mulling. But those players were Kane Baldwin, Massimo D'Ambrosio, Jai Menzi, and help me with the other one, mate. Brandon Zerk Thatcher. Now, Brandon Zerk Thatcher, it's been reported he may ask for a trade to Port. I guess we won't find that out until Port season's over.
That might be slightly complicated with him, apparently trying to get Radicalia for 5 years, Jane. If they sign up Radicalia, then his spot as the number one key defender might make him reconsider that option. But, it'll be, as you say, we'll have to wait and see how that plays out.
Well, the other thing that complicates it, mate, is that early days we were linked to Ben McKay and seen as favourites to get him before Sydney re-entered the frame. And we were told that they'd offered a massive paycheck to him, and that would trigger the band compensation that North were after. So they became the favourites. But the talk on the radio, in the newspaper was that Essendon have re-entered that market and are now prepared to offer a much larger scale of contract for Ben McKay. Probably thinking that if Zerk does go, they really need a fullback.
Yeah.
So I kind of understand that, and we may have to pay a bit overs for him, but we do need that position. And I don't think we can be too critical, even if it is a ridiculous amount of like $750 for the 4 years, whatever it is going to be. He's only 25 turning 26. So, yeah, we may have to get used to overpaying for a player like that, but we really need to fill a void.
Yeah, well, that's it. I mean, we've got ourselves in a situation where we're not currently, vying for a flag. Obviously, AFL players want to play at the highest level, and we don't offer them that right now, premiership success in the near future. They know it's going to be a bit of a grind. So automatically that means we have to up our offer. Also, as you say, Jane, we need that position, and other teams are likewise in that same position, Hawthorn, Port, Swans. So that drives the price up again. But I guess, really, if you look at it, it depends how you structure the contract as well, whether you front load it. Given we've got quite a lot of money in the bank at the moment, there's no point holding on to it, because clubs have to pay, as per the AFLPA, they must pay 95% of their cap towards the players. So it's not like we can just save it up and spend big at some stage in the future. So look, we have to spend the money in any case. I'd rather spend that on getting a position of need for us, like a player that can play that position, rather than just simply overinflating contracts of blokes who don't particularly feel a need. As much as I think most would agree, that price tag of 750 may be a bit overinflated, but it's kind of the price that the market dictates at the moment, I'd say.
Yeah, well, the other news is that Essendon have also, through Brad Scott, approached Todd Goldstein. And they're looking for someone who can play that Andrew Phillips role and, provide some leadership towards, Nick Bryan and Sam Draper.
Yeah.
So Todd Goldstein, I think he's approaching 35 years of age, mate. He's pretty up there in the ages.
Yeah.
He's a very good ruckman, as we know. And probably not someone who's going to play every week, but I kind of see some merit in doing that, even for someone like Nick Bryan to learn from.
Yep.
And it may be like a playing kind of slash coaching kind of thing, where we might have to give him 2 years and the second year will be heavily into coaching and so forth.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, I personally think, if you take the comparison of Phillips, I think Goldstein's definitely an upgrade on Phillips. And I think the other way you look at it, we're really getting him to back up Draper, not to replace Bryan, who I think we all agree needs further development. So, again, that'll be on the recruiters to sell that to Goldstein, to say, look, these are our preferred two. I think, Draper and Bryan need to further develop. So whether Goldstein is happy playing that role will be left to be seen. But someone of his caliber at this stage of his career, if we give him the 2 years with that coaching development role, as you say, Jane, might appeal to him at this stage of his career.
Yeah. Now in coaching news, we know Gia, has been put his hand up for the Richmond job, and he's actually, still in the market for that role. So he's one of our more senior assistant coaches at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
So it'll be interesting to see, because there's a lot of talk that we want to update our assistant coaches, and I think it's probably due, mate. For whatever reason. And I'm not sure what Blake Carousella's role is going forward, but I was really excited when he joined the club.
Yep.
But I have to say, I've been disappointed, not just at Blake, but I mean, ever since we've got the player, I've got those coaches in, it's pretty sad that we've still got no consistent kind of game plan. So, I'm open to all eyes on, updating our coaching and so forth. So it'd be interesting to see what that makeup is. and what changes are announced. I guess, you know, the players are still doing, well, I think most of them have done all their exit interviews now. So now it's just a matter of waiting for us to kind of finalise, you know, what our list is going to be. And, you know, there's a lot of players in limbo at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
They've been told to wait until the trade period to see how many list spots we have. And, you know, that'll affect players like, you know, Paddy Voss and so forth, and the rookie draft and so forth, about, you know, how it's looking. But we did see, unfortunately, confirmation that Anthony Mancara has, you know, effectively chosen to go back to the Tiwi Islands. And, you know, we're really excited to have him on our list. But, yeah, we wish him well, and it sounds like he's very comfortable with the decision. And he is quite thankful for the Essendon Footy Club for looking after him in his year down here. So, yeah, wish Anthony all the best.
Absolutely, mate. And, yeah, it's sort of funny because he is going back to the Tiwi Bombers, I believe. And none other than the great Anthony McDonald, Tip and Woody, I believe, is also headed that way, Jane.
That's great.
Which is, yeah, good if those two can stick together. Now, I mean, obviously, we don't know what happened with regards to decision-making on Mancara. I would find it hard to believe that, yeah, we just didn't think he'd cut it. So, we've, you know, thought the end of the experiment there, because he didn't really cost us a list spot, Jane. Like, he was a Cat B rookie. I'm pretty sure he could have been signed on for another, you know, for that development that I thought, you know, all of us could say he was developing quite well. But perhaps it's a maturity thing as well. Like, he's,
I think it's more of a lifestyle thing, it sounds like. He may, you know, I think we've heard it reported that he went home for a funeral.
Yeah.
So that may even had him, like, questioning, do I want to miss, you know, being away from home and so forth, you know, the precious time that I can have with my loved ones and so forth. So, yeah, it'd be interesting, won't it?
Yeah, like, certainly.
How he reacclimates back to the Tiwi Islands, and wonder if he's ever open to coming back down, because he's still a fairly young person. Like, I think he's only 18 or 19.
Yeah, absolutely, James. And look, the hopeful optimist conspiracy theorist in me is hoping that, send Anthony McDonald, Tip Woody there to, show a bit of that leadership and, you know, teach these younger players about, you know, the rigors of the AFL environment and, I suppose, the sort of level of play and what's required at that level. And hopefully we can, you know, get a bit of a program up there. It'd be great to see a bit of a footy factory for the Essendon Football Club from the Tiwi Islands, because there's some exciting players, Jane. Look, you know, obviously can't hold our breaths or anything like that, but I think it's great those two will stick together. And, I wish both Anthony McDonald, Tip Woody and Mancara well for their future ahead.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's our NGA programs, you know, got some component up there as well. So, I'm interested to see if we look to add to that, because our strike record hasn't been great of recent times.
Yeah.
You know, when you look at players like Brand and who's the other four? Oh, Josh Eyre.
Yeah.
Now, his brother's up for this year's one. Haven't heard much about Josh Eyre's brother, but he's on our NGA list, and haven't heard if he's player we're looking at adding. But very interesting to see, you know, a bit more luck in those, because they're kind of like free hits. And when you look at the strength of the Brisbane's and the Gold Coast and GWS programs, it's just, they've got some untapped talent that's just coming through the door effectively, you know, at a pretty cheap price.
Yeah, bloody oath.
Anything else, mate, around the club that you've noticed or wanted to mention?
No, I'm not going to think of James. I think, yeah, there's a lot to be seen. I mean, apparently, yeah, John Menzies, that's a 2-year contract in front of him. I believe that's been in front of him for some time. So hopefully he signs that fairly soon. There's the news, or the rumours at least, of up to 15 AFL listed players. Yeah, apparently heading to Arizona in a training camp to increase, their training levels, fitness, and all the rest of it. Believed to be led by, Langford and McGrath. From what we're hearing, yet to see any details of that, whether it's true or not. But I'm certainly hoping it's true because, we remember the likes of, Zach Merritt, Zaharakis. Previously heading over there, investing in themselves to get the best out of the careers. And certainly if there's 15 of them going over there to get the best out of them, you'd imagine that'd have huge benefits in terms of getting to know each other, as well as lifting the training standards, and when they come back, applying what they learned in the club environment. Would be a great thing.
Yeah, well, it was reported that it started with just four players going to Arizona, and then a whole heap of other people, players, were interested, including a couple of coaches. And the reports are some of the young players going are being paid for by more senior leaders, so they're actually dipping their hand in their pocket to help these young guys get over there. So, that shows a great connection. And a real, a commitment to get better, which obviously we also heard that Brad Scott, I think, had 12 players go to the game, St Kilda and GWS, sat them in the crowd and made them watch that game, knowing that that could have been their spot. So I think all these things are really, trying to create that culture of, if we're not performing, we're not having the opportunity to play finals, we need to learn how to play them. And they were analysing the game from the stands.
Hang on, so that's like this year, like this game just gone past, Joe.
Yes, on Sunday.
Far out. Well, no, I
Sorry,
hadn't
on
heard that.
Saturday, sorry. On Saturday, 12 players. Well, it might have been 10 players and two coaches, led by Brad Scott. Went to watch St Kilda versus GWS, and they were basically, watching the teams play that could have been us, if you know what I mean. So, I think that's a good thing that
Yeah, bloody oath.
Brad's tried to bring in there as well. So,
Yep.
it's a good thing that the club is obviously, and we've heard the messaging from the players a lot. We're sick of being a mediocre team.
Yep.
We're sick of, finishing our seasons in August. When you've got a captain like Zach Merritt and obviously a coach like Brad Scott, really hope that that creates that culture of it's no longer good enough just to make up the numbers.
Yep. No,
So,
that's great to hear.
yeah. Now, mate, we'll go into the AFLW game now. Obviously, first game at Windy Hill for the AFLW team. Great turnout, as we spoke about. How did you see how the game started?
Yeah, it was pretty exciting. Early, like we seemed to really jump them. I mean, we kicked the first three goals, Jane. Like there was that quick goal from Jackie Vott to start us off in the first few minutes of the game. And then soon after, Amber Clark, who I really like the way she plays, James. She's a pretty clever young player. So she was able to dob one, and that was our second in 5 minutes, and that was followed up not 5 minutes after by George G, who showed lovely bit of class.
Yeah, it was all class, and George G's known for that, mate. She's silky the way she uses the footy easily and knows how to finish off. But it was a perfect start for the AFLW team playing at Windy Hill, and three goals up. You thought, gee, how far?
Absolutely, Jane. Unfortunately, though, we kept pumping it in there for enough opportunities, but we just weren't making the most of it. And then, the ball obviously went up St Kilda's end. And Nicola Xenos for them, she's a bloody good mark, Jane. Like strong hands. And she was able to dob the first for St Kilda. So yeah, as much domination as we had and our crowd were up and about, that sort of kept him in with a sniff, and we finished that quarter up by just the 11 points, so 3 goals, 1, 19 to their 1 goal, 2, 8.
Yeah, and they certainly got a bit of belief from their last goal. I think they looked a little bit defeated after our third goal, but when they got that first goal, they started to have a bit more control of the footy. So going into the second quarter, I hope we started the game, started that quarter like we did the game.
But unfortunately, it just wasn't that way, was it? We were pretty scrappy, and that was from all ends. It was like, we were trying to be, I don't know, we thought we were better than we were in terms of, like, we were getting enough for footy, which was great, but we were just not making great decisions. So like our ball use was pretty sloppy. Like even stars like Prasparkas were, they'd get the footy and then chuck it on the boot, and it'd invariably end up in the lap of a St Kilda player, or not to our advantage at all. Unfortunately, it was St Kilda that would kick the first goal of that second quarter.
Yeah, and starting to get a bit nervous, mate, because like we had a bit of control of the footy too. We just could not capitalize, and they were starting to put a bit more pressure on us going forward.
Certainly were, mate. And it didn't help that we were, when we did get an opportunity at goal, we weren't, capitalising, as you said. Like there was a miss to Wuchna, before Zenos, also missed up their end. And the ball sort of bandied about for a bit. It wasn't a high scoring quarter all. We ended up still leading at the half time. So 3 goals, 3, 21 after just kicking the 2 points for that quarter to St Kilda's 2 goals, 4, 16.
Yeah, so the game had really tightened up, and going into the half time, thought we had to change our style a little bit, and it looked like that changed in the third quarter. We seemed to move the ball a bit more fluently. Still made some errors, but I think the conditions probably didn't help either.
No, I mean, I think we started the quarter pretty good. I mean, 1 and 2, jumped out of the blocks, really well. So in that first minute or so, she had a shot for goal, unfortunately missed before, gobbling up an opportunity for a second, and she didn't let that one get away, and she put her first goal for the game through.
Yeah, how good is she? What a presence, and her marking is just exceptional.
Bloody earth it is, James, which is great to see. Unfortunately, though, it was the Saints who'd get the next couple of goals through McDonald and Vesely. And all of a sudden, James, things were pretty tight. I mean, like they'd actually, I think they took the lead, or at least were even at that stage of the game. But then we put the foot down and said, no, we we have to re-establish our dominance here. And we saw Wuchna kick a nice goal, which was followed up not too long after by Amelia Radford, who kicked a beauty.
And the crowd enjoyment, that link-up play that led to Radford's goal, was just brilliant. Like the way we used the footy end to end, and Wuchna's goal was just exceptional. Well, she's got a great kick on her, and it's great to see her up and about.
Certainly is, mate. So we ended that quarter up by the 2 goals, so 6 goals, 4, 40 to the Saints, 4 goals, 4, 28. And you wouldn't believe it, Jane, but that was the last score of the match. That whole last quarter, neither team scored. And look, the ball certainly went up both ends of the ground, with great ferocity, but both sides' defenses were really standing up. While the ball going forward for both sides, you'd have to say, was left a bit to be desired. So, our ladies had to really scrap hard to, stop some scoring opportunities. And again, it was the likes of sort of Vought Tugard who really stood up and took some nice marks. As well as Walker. I thought she had a pretty big last quarter, Jane. But fortunately, look, this was a game I thought we really should have shown a lot more dominance and won by a fair bit more. But at the end of the day, you won by 2 goals. You take the 4 points and yeah, you move on to next week.
Yeah, and what I did like was that, you know, we were challenged and we were pretty much able to take control of the game after that point, but without slamming on too many goals. But it was quite a physical game too. There's a little bit of feeling in there.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's great to see that our girls are strong enough to hold on. Now, next week we've got a huge game. Play the undefeated Crows. Wigan Oval in South Australia, and that'll be a real challenge for us, mate. That's on Saturday, I think, around 3 o'clock. So, make sure everyone who can tune in and cheer on the girls, because or ladies, I should say. It's been great to have them introduced, at least to give us something to do over the off season, mate. And I'm really enjoying watching the Bombers win in September.
That's it, mate.
Well, mate, I guess that should lead us to our votes. And as always, you go first.
Absolutely, mate. All right. So for one vote, I went for George G. I thought, she just showed, just what a class user she is. And I'm really liking the way she goes about it. And she seems to be able to, she seems to have more of a presence throughout all 4 quarters, Jane. Like, I thought last year she showed little sparks, but, we'd go into the game pretty easy. She's still very slight, but she certainly gets around the ball and makes good use of it when she does get it. So I thought one vote for her. Van de Heuvel was, solid in defence and, made her presence known, which I thought was really good. Three votes I went for Jackie Vaught. I thought, I mean, she did. She came through and kicked the goal, but I thought she stood up when needed and took some nice marks, which was great to see. For four votes, I went for Bonnie Toogood. She really is too good, Jane. Took what was it, another 8 marks, I think. Which is great to see. Obviously, kicked a nice goal, but really stood up when the whips were cracking yet again. So, loved what she's done there. But for the five votes, James, I had to go for Sophie Alexander. I thought she was fantastic. I mean, just the amount of, good entries she got inside 50, over 6 score involvements. Actually had, 10 contested possessions. So she worked bloody hard to get the footy, used it pretty well. So, gave her best on for mine. How about yourself, James? How'd you read it?
Yeah, similar, mate. I had the five votes, I thought, for Sophie Alexander. I really loved the presence that she has up forward and even played a little bit more centre forward in the second half.
Yep.
And her long kicking was a real feature. And precise kicking too, mate. She set up a number of forward thrusts that were really on point. So, great game by Sophie. I gave 4 to Bonnie Toogood. I just thought her marking presence was just so good and too good, to be honest. But, she was great in the game and might not have kicked a mountain of goals, but certainly and she got slung a number of times, mate.
Yeah, she did, huh?
And she got slung last week against the Hawks. So I really hope she holds up through the season if she keeps getting slammed like that. But, really good game from Bonnie again. I liked the defensive game of Van de Heuvel. I really liked her game, so I gave her 3. Just liked the way that she really shored our back line. And she had some help through Brown and also Gamble. So I thought as a collective back, they all played well, but she jumped out most to me.
Yep.
I gave 2 to Prasparkas. Now, I know she got a lot of plaudits, but I got a little bit frustrated with just the usage of the footy. She turned over the ball, an awful amount. I know she can find it, but I think less is more sometimes. And if you can, she can find a bit more precise kicking, it'll really help her. But again, she knows how to find the footy, mate, and that's nothing to be scoffed at.
Yeah.
And I gave one vote to G as well. I just thought she's a silky smooth, And you're right, mate. She's having a lot more presence throughout the whole game rather than, you know, those flashy parts that she was playing last year.
Yep.
So, yeah, I really think she's, you know, developed in her second season at the Bombers, and I'm going for her one vote.
Beautiful. All right. Well, I'll tally him up, Jane. So at this stage, we've got one vote to Scott, three to Vought, four to Prasparkas, five to G, seven to Nanscorn. And our top three are 10 for Alexander, 12 for Vanderhoevel, and out in front is Bonnie Toogood on 18 Donscast medal votes.
Yeah, fantastic. And yeah, well done to the women again. Second season and 2-0. Yeah, really something to be proud of. So,
yeah. Just a quick shout out. Forgot to mention, James. Shout out to Stephanie Kane. Well, she's another one who got slammed into the deck. And yeah, seemed to have, I don't know if she popped her shoulder out for a moment there, James. Yeah, she just couldn't use it at all, but still, yeah, stayed out on the ground and, you know, tried to make an impact as best she could. I thought, yeah, she played a real, real sweat and determination kind of game, albeit not super flashy, but no, I thought a great effort from our co-captain.
Yeah, well, you can tell why she's the leader. And she stayed out there, mate, and reluctant to come off even with that sore shoulder. And yeah, there's actually a passage of play after she looked like she was couldn't move her arm. She actually ran onto the footy and ran it forward. And yeah, ultimately she got caught and slammed to the ground again. Poor bugger. But yeah, she still, you know, did her best to run, and it was just a bit slippery out there at times. And that was an instance what happened. But yeah, you gotta love her tenacity, and yeah, she's added a lot to the team. Yeah, I'll tell you what.
Yep.
All right, mate. Well, let's have a bit of a break. We'll come back. We're going to play a review, players 11 to 22. Oh, sorry, 11 to 20, I should say. So we'll have a break and we'll come back to buy the numbers. And you're listening to Donscast. And, mate, we continue our By the Numbers season review. We start with number 11. He's a player, Will Snelling, who has no contract at the moment.
Mm-hmm.
He's an unrestricted free agent. And it'll be interesting to see what happens there. But I thought this year he's kind of like a spare parts kind of player. In and out of the side, used as a sub a lot. And really, if I'm honest, I think he went backwards a bit in his career. You know, in terms of, you know, I can't really think of any highlights. Yeah, you know, I'm sure he was always in there trying his hardest, so it's definitely not a knock, but I just don't think he took a step forward putting his name up for a new contract.
Yeah, and that's it. It's funny, isn't it? Because, as you say, look, he seemed to be like just outside of the 22, because he was selected a sub, as you said, like a number of times. He actually played 15 games, Jane, if you believe that. And in terms of impact, it was pretty minimal. Yeah, to be perfectly honest. I mean, you look at his season averages, disposals, so 11 disposals per game. Now, that could be, I suppose, offset slightly from, you know, coming on as a sub. So you've got limited opportunity to get your numbers there. But even then, you know, if you're playing that sort of forward pocket, forward flank kind of role, you'd think, okay, well, as an impact player, as a sub, he's only kicked below half a goal per game, so 0.4 goals. So, yeah, you might get one every 3 weeks if you're lucky. He kicked the 6 goals over the course of his 15 games, Jane, which I don't think for that position is up to standard. Personally, look, I think it's unfortunate because of his size, he's not versatile. You can't plug and play at multiple ends of the ground. Our midfield is small enough as it is, so we're already getting smashed there, so we can't really run through there as yet another option. And I just don't think he's got the impact required to make a difference in our in our 22. Yeah, I thought he had a pretty average year, to be honest.
Okay, so without a contract, are you offering another one, or do you think it's the number 11 will be vacant going into season 2024?
Yeah, if it's me, he doesn't get another contract this year. But I mean, I think he'd probably be one that the club would look at and go, look, he can come in and play a role, if sort of Blacks are injured, he needs someone to run through, because I think he does have enough run in him, like enough fitness, because he has laid the what 47 tackles, so above average there, so three tackles a game. So it's not like he doesn't put the effort in or anything like that, but certainly I would hope the club's looking around to see what else they can get, and if nothing, like if there's absolutely no one they can get to fill a need, I could see them keeping him purely for the fact of, he's 26, going to 27, so a senior sort of body, someone who I think he does train pretty hard, Joan. In terms of on-field impact, I don't think he's up to AFL. I think he's a very good VFL player. For mine, I'd be saying thank you for your services. Will, what about yourself, mate?
Yeah, I'm the same. I think, as you say, we're already undersized in the midfield area. He hasn't got electric pace. So he doesn't really solve that goal kicking either. And with the Jai Menzies having a real impression in his first year, just don't see a spot for him. And there's a bit of a squeeze on list spots as it is. So, I think he may be a player that may have played his last game for the club. And if that's the case, we always thank them for their services. And he's been a good clubman since being taken in that mid-season draft. He had a real impression when he first started because, mate, I think he played in that elimination final against West Coast when we went over to Perth in his first year. Maybe my dates might be wrong there, but I just have a inkling he may have played in that game.
No, he certainly did, Jamie. I think he was probably one of the ones that could hold his head high. There weren't many that game, as we made the journey, and
Thank you, Will, and we'll wait and see what happens with confirmation, but it may be that the number 11's vacant and available for a player for next year. Number 12, mate, was Will Setterfield, and he made a real impression coming into the side. His first 7 or 8 games were, magnificent. He had a point of difference, being 192 centimetres in the midfield, and was playing a bit of a tagging role at times. Not the traditional tagging role, but a bit of a watchful eye on the opponent. So I really think he was headed for a great season. Unfortunately, had that crack in the foot against the Lions, I think it was, and never really got back. Even though he got back in the last game, I think it was. He kind of struggled, to even get it. And it's funny, mate. Like a lot of our injury reporting, we were told at times it's only 3 weeks, 3 weeks, 3 weeks, and it just never comes. It's like tomorrow. Tomorrow never comes. And he just missed a large chunk of the season in the end. And somehow he got to 10 games, but I think he played 9 in a row, and then maybe missed a game and got one at the end. He's a point of difference for us, mate, in the midfield. He's one that could have a big year next year.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I think the massive thing that stood out, like for Will Setterfield, was just his defensive intent. Like he averaged six tackles a game. Like, and even that last game, James came in and laid the 10 tackles, if you don't mind. Another point of difference for him was given he's 192 centimeters, so a bit taller than the rest of them. He actually averaged about 5 marks per game, which really does set him apart. Look, he had some really good impact early, and then seemed to go into his shell a little bit, last couple of games before that sort of injury, which you mentioned, James. But yeah, certainly he's one. He's still only 25, James, so he's yeah, got plenty of footy left in him. And given like he was really, he started off his career as a inside mid. Carlton had moved him to a wing role. So then we said to him, okay, Nat, we want you to come back, play an inside mid role for us. His body composition, would have changed. Like he would have been doing a lot more running, a lot less on the weights. So there's potentially over this offseason for him to get back into his midfield bull kind of frame. And as you say, make a real difference for us. Because I think, if you think back that early part of the season, it was blokes like Setterfield, and even Scheel, really, James, those bigger body types who were making a big difference for us and allowing us to body up against some of those I suppose better rated sides like your sort of Collingwoods and that kind of thing. So no, I see a lot of promise in Will Setterfield. So let's hope for a big pre-season and off-season from him.
Mate, just on that, going back, a lot of people are saying, it's hard to watch McLuggage play so well for the Lions now, and did we get it wrong with Andy McGrath and so forth? But Adrian Dodoro, sorry, was famously quoted as, three players he was looking at with the number one pick was Andy McGrath, Hugh McLuggage, and Will Setterfield. So he'll argue. I basically got two of the three I wanted. He got them, but he had to wait his time because we know originally GWS selected Setterfield before he moved on to Carlton and finally to Essendon. And hopefully, he has a great year next year, and that pesky foot problem will go away. Nick Cox, mate, he's had a real struggle the last couple of years, really. With injury mainly. He had a great debut season. Last year was like really hindered by injuries, and this year he had to wait. I think it was around to around, well, 14 or before he got into the side, mate, because he's again had injuries. So, he ended up playing six games, and he didn't get a lot of the footy, mate, but he seemed a bit more comfortable as the season went on. And I really hope he can put on some weight over the summer. Because he's certainly a player that I think could really really benefit us if he can get his body right, and with that height and athletic ability, he's certainly a player that hopefully can propel us forward.
Yeah, absolutely, James. As I said, like he had that injury and then came into the VFL. Look, we must have looked at it and gone, look, he's not playing outstanding, but he's getting enough of the footy. And he probably wasn't going to develop as fast as we'd like playing VFL level football. Mind you, I would say that's kind of debatable. But he came in. Didn't have huge impact. I mean, all these I suppose average stats are below average. So disposals like under 12, so five kicks, six and a half handballs, a couple of tackles. But I do think he did show a little bit as a defender, Jane. And not a lot. There's still a lot to learn as a defender. But yeah, to remember like this bloke, he's come in. Yeah, through the COVID years, so not a lot of football being played. He's a lighter frame, but also, he's been chucked at all ends of the ground. We've gone, oh, let's chuck you on the wing. That not working there. Let's put you up forward. That not working there. And now it's gone to back. And in between there, he's had long injury periods where he just hasn't been able to get on the park at all. So that period of not playing a lot of football has basically extended into his first couple of years of AFL level footy. I do think at times he shows some good composure and he did seem a little bit tougher over the footy. Not a lot though. And I will say there were times where he it was his time to go and he just didn't go, Jane. Whether that was through lack of footy smarts or just not playing a lot of footy, so having to get back up to the speed of the game. I'm not sure. But certainly I do see a decent player in Nick Cox. He's going to need a lot of work over the sort of off season to build that body, but also build familiarity around getting a proper role. And I'm hoping blokes like Mick Hurley or whoever it is comes in to help the development of our younger blokes to help him learn how to, body out his opponent, even if you are undersized. Because he's got the height, but certainly the he's still whip thin. So look, there's plenty to work with. But yeah, time will tell for Nick Cox.
Jordan Ridley, with no doubt, when he went out of their side, mate, after that injury, our season was effectively over, and he's that important to us. I think he was our biggest loss of the year through injury. He's still technically 24, mate. He turns 25 in October. It's hard to believe, isn't it? He's been such a general for us, becoming part of a leadership. He's got some leadership qualities as well. So, I think Jordan had a fantastic year. Really think he might have really given Zach Merritt a bit of a nudge at that Doncaster medal vote, mate, if he had kept playing, because he was right up there. But that injury, unfortunately, and we saw him lose a big chunk of the game against Port over there, where he got knocked out by good old Willie Rioli. So. No, we just need to fit Jordan Ridley back, and a lot of our issues down back will be solved.
He had an outstanding year, I thought, Jane. Like particularly like looking back at 2022, we just didn't get the best out of Ridley. And he was back to his best. As you're saying, Jane, I mean, like in terms of disposals and kicks, both ranked elite, throughout the AFL. Pardon me. And actually seemed to show a lot more of his pure defensive game, Jane. Like we've previously known him as that sort of third bloke up, floating across and intercept marking. But I thought his one-on-one, contest abilities this year, Jane, were a lot more solid, and he was quite strong. So no, he had a fantastic year, Jordan Ridley, and it was a massive blow to us that he did go out. I thought our back six just totally lost structure with him going out of the side. So getting him back and obviously shoring up that back line. If it is Jordan Ridley, pardon me, Cirk Thatcher staying around, or if we can add to it with the likes of a Mackay potentially, that'd be fantastic because certainly we need Ridley focusing on his intercept and attacking abilities because he provides a lot of drive for us. So great season from Rids.
Now, a player that really, I thought, suffered when Jordan went out of the side was Jaden Laverty. And, he was asked to do a bit too much for his capabilities, I think, because we know he's an undersized key position player, or he's asked to play that for us. And, I thought he noticeably, his output really went down. Although he was getting plenty of possessions, he just didn't have the impact. And I know some people have criticized him for his, gaming kind of channel and social media and so forth, but to me that's not a big storyline. I just think that he missed that support from Jordan Ridley.
He certainly did, mate. He look, he's kind of he's been a whipping boy, these last few weeks or so. He's certainly polarized opinions. Because I certainly think that he battles hard each and every game he goes out there. He's often playing undersized. Or if he's not playing undersized, he's asked to play on small forwards who clearly don't suit the way he plays. He absolutely did suffer from the loss of Ridley going out of the side. I think without that structure, it was up to basically Lav and McGrath to hold that back six together. And I don't think they did it very well. But look, I think he does play a role for us, Jane, and I thought he played quite solidly. Yeah, of course, there's you love an upgrade of that position. With, I suppose, a bloke who can bite off those more difficult kicks, it does back themselves in to chew off those kicks and provide more of an attacking option. But I think you could do far worse than Jaden Laverty. I thought he's a tough hombre. He bleeds for the jumper. So look, he didn't have a great year, but I'd still say it was solid. He played a role for us, as needed.
Yeah, definitely a position of need, and as I said, we're asking him to do a hell of a lot for a man of his size, and against some of the brutes that he's been asked to play on. But yeah, he'd definitely benefit from a bit more help down there. Archie Perkins, look, he played a little bit more midfield this year. Got his real first taste of it. Now it wasn't always successful, I don't think. And I think he needs to work on the ball below his knees, mate. A couple of times he really double grabbed at balls, and also just the way that he, I think sometimes lost a bit of composure. But one thing I really like about him is his marking. We saw him take some really important marks, important parts of the game, and no more than I think it was the West Coast Eagles game where he took that goal, mate, and kicked that goal and took a big mark, and against North as well was pretty important. So I think, of our three picks that we had in succession in 2020, with Cox, Reed, and Perkins, he's obviously been the standout, but he's still got a long way to go. He's still only 21, we need to remember. He's the right height we need, like 188 centimeters, and I still think he's better as a forward than playing mid, but I understand the club wanting to develop him there. And like I said, he's one of the players that played every game. So for a third year player, that's a pretty good effort.
Yeah, it is, James, and that's probably the most pleasing thing. Look, he did get all 23 games under his belt. Now, the disappointing thing is his output was it would fluctuate over the season. Like he'd play a couple of good games. I don't think he actually played any real outstanding games, Jane. Like I think that game against Adelaide, I think he might have kicked three, which is good. So, but like what he did do was had that opportunity to play mid. Went up against the likes of Cripps, went against the likes of Dangerfield, and he got given plenty of challenges. And I thought his fitness base has certainly improved what it was previously. But that probably came at the cost of, those I suppose more explosive moments that we know he's capable of, ripping out of a pack and blazing for goal, which we know he's capable of. So and I suppose the other thing I quite liked was a bit more tackling intent, which is good. But look, I think this year should put him in good stead to really kick on. If he's if he has a good off season, pre-season, and I suppose hits the gym and work on his fitness, this year should help him, I suppose, solidify in his mind that he's not only up to the level, but if he really exerts himself, he can be a serious player of the competition. And I think he can be a real point of difference for us going forward. So, I think he had a solid year overall. But you'd hope that would lead to bigger gains, coming into 2024.
Next player's already really had a decision made on him, mate. James Stewart, despite having a contract for next year, the club kind of announced that, he would be getting an opportunity elsewhere at our expense, sorry. So we'll be paying for that contract. So it was always a strange decision, I thought, to give him a 2-year contract on the back of six games last year, especially at 28 years of age. We went down that path. This year, we just couldn't get him on the field. He had lots of foot injuries and also obviously some personal trouble, which understandable, especially losing his father and so forth. But he did get back and played a VFL game, mate. I think with 2 rounds to go, he kicked 5 goals, which is a pretty good effort. He's a bulk of a man, as you know. And I thought there might be hope for him, being already contracted you know, to have as a bit of insurance policy for us. But, yeah, the call was made and seemed a bit strange at the time, because I thought, well, you know, it shows that we need list spots available. And that's probably why, you know, they've made the call on him. But, yeah, it's hard to judge him on his output because he didn't really play – well, he played no senior games this year and really just played a few games in the twos.
Yeah, had a pretty tough year, Jimmy Stewart. Yeah, I think he's worked hard to get himself back to fitness and, yeah, obviously he kicked his five goals and you'd think, oh, beauty, yeah, it would be great to see him back out there, but, yeah, not to be. So I think, look, all we can do really is say thank you for your services, Jimmy. Like, we'll always remember the 2017 forward line, Jane. Yeah, I was like, I quite liked him when he played down defence. Like, yes, he wasn't the greatest defender in the game, but I thought he showed a lot and had some good hands. Was a good user of the footy, but would definitely have those brain fade moments, and I think everyone listening will know exactly the moment I'm talking about. That one where he's just sort of watched it go over the line. But thanks for your services, Jimmy. And let's hope a club picks him up. And it's just unfortunate that we'll be paying for it at the same time.
Yeah, and it sounds like Sydney were the ones that made the first inquiry. So. If that's the case, we know their track record of getting the best out of recruits. So
yes, he'll kick eight on us.
Exactly. I was going to say we look forward to playing him in a final, an elimination final, or something like that, mate. But Lewis Hayes, mate, we took him with our second pick, I think, in last year's draft. So definitely a position of need. 199-centimeter backman. And he really developed in the VFL. I've been watching him in the VFL games I've watched, and there's a lot to like. Obviously, with the reddish hair, a lot of people were calling out as Dustin Fletcher, which is obviously a bridge too far. But, he certainly learned a lot over the year, and I think he's a player that could push for senior selection next year, depending on our recruiting.
Yeah, absolutely, James. Like, the thing that really impressed me was he didn't look out of place. Like, yes, he was slight and might get pushed out by the bigger bodies. But I thought he cracked in really hard, went when it was his time to go. So from the limited footy I did see of Lewis Hayes, I thought he showed himself quite well. So I'm looking forward to his development.
And now Nick Hind, he had to fight for his spot, especially earlier in the year, in and out of the side. He was initially out, then he got in, then he'd be dropped or made sub. But I thought he finished off the season, really well. And from round 17, he's a real barometer for us. Providing some run out of the back line when we looked so stagnant. We all know how bad we looked. Trying to get out of defence. He was one of the few that would take the game on. So he's obviously contracted and he's much needed player for us, I think. It's hard to believe, mate. I remember watching him play in the when he was obviously when he was in the Bendigo Bombers, I think it was, mate, or the Essendon Reserves, and he was just trying to fight for a spot back in senior footy, and we saw him get picked up by St Kilda. But, you look at him now and, can you believe he's 29 years of age? He's one of the older players on our list and still has that dash. So, really hope, wish him well, gets his fitness up and he can provide some more run for us next year.
Yeah, absolutely, James. I think, the criticism rightly came for him, regarding his defensive attributes. Last year, but also at the start of this year, like as you said, Jamie, he had to really fight for his spot. But then once he did make it in, he made good on obviously the instruction that was provided to him by the coaching groups. Like I thought he was, it wasn't perfect, but I thought he's much more defensively minded. And as you said, Jamie, gave us that run which we were sorely crying out for. Bit of running carry, those last six games or so. I thought, definitely he was one of your better performers over those 6 weeks. He was one who could hold his head up every week, trying to crack in and get the ball going our way. I thought his kicking was quite good, and which I'm sure a lot of people might go, what we were watching, but I thought he actually tried to bite off those difficult kicks that when they did come off, really got us in good scoring opportunities. So look, I quite liked his years, how he's had to work for it. And now the pressure will be on. Okay, well, you've got to keep your spot now because another preseason, there'll be plenty more people gunning for that position, Jane. And he's certainly not safe by any means.
No, that's right. And, if it's true, like a player like Massimo D'Ambrosio will be wanting that spot. There'll be a few players that really are hunting for that area. So, you have to do the work over the preseason and keep that spot, as you say, because when you turn 29, father time's catching up, as they say. But we wish him well. Now, Peter Wright, mate, was on the eve of the season opening against Hawks. We heard that Peter Wright had signed 4 years, and we thought, yes, how great's this? And a few hours later, we learned that he'd done his shoulder. So that's the life of an Essendon supporter for you. You go from elation to despair and very quick timing. And unfortunately for Peter, he got back. We all remember that first game back against the Blues and kicked the 5 goals. But he just never was right, mate. He seemed to have lost a lot of confidence in contests. Just reading of the play probably didn't help. He didn't have genuine crummers at his feet either. So, I think it was a very tough year for Peter Wright. And, he did get 10 games somehow. It's hard to believe that he played that many. He just didn't have the goal output that he'd had the year before. And, we just hope that he can get some confidence in that shoulder and no more further issues with it.
Yeah, absolutely, Jane. It's just a really unfortunate timing because he seemed to be really taking the preseason by storm. Seems to be flying, if you'll use Jake Stringer's terminology. But unfortunately, wasn't to be, and came in picked that bag of five against Carlton, helped us get up over the old enemy. But then apart from that, didn't really perform as much as we would like over the rest of the season. And that's obviously, from a number of factors, like one, probably lack of confidence in that shoulder, and get back to the rough and tumble of AFL footy. But also I think we got very 2 meter Peter centric, and everything was just going straight on top of his head. Like there was no leading patterns or anything like that. That's something that really needs to be worked on over the pre-season. So look, at the end of the day, not his best year, but certainly not his fault. But I'll be looking forward to a big preseason from Peter Wright, because certainly, we'd love having him for the full season, and see what sort of difference we can make with a multi-pronged attack. Now that Langford seems to have a more solid role, so I'll look forward to next year, Jane.
Yeah, that makes me think, a player like Jade Gresham could be looked at by the Bombers, because we certainly need another live wire forward, I think. Especially losing the likes of AMT, and obviously we need that genuine crummer, I think, for someone like Peter Wright, because there is going to be the times where the ball gets knocked around. Guelphy, as much of a trier as he is, he just doesn't have the reading of the players as a genuine crummer. So, Peter Wright will look better that way. But 19 goals for the year, mate, is really surprising. If somebody said he's going to average 1.9 goals a game, you would have been surprised. But you need to take into account that shoulder injury, and also just the way we were moving the footy would be hard for anyone to score. So I don't put it all on Pete. But, hopefully a big off season and pre-season for him, and he gets that confidence back.
See.
Well, mate, we're done players 1 to 20. So we'll end it up here. We always thank everyone for listening. We hope you're enjoying the pod over the summer months, or, you know, spring months, I should say now. And, mate, we'll just announce I'm leaving in about 3 weeks to go on a 7-week holiday to the US. So we will be we're still discussing how the pod will go, mate, but it may have a bit of a hiatus during that time. But we'll announce that as we go forward. But certainly we've got a few more episodes in us yet before then. So I hope you're still enjoying it. And until next time, go Bombers.
Go Dons.